Hi, this is Pastor John. It's January the 26th, 2010. It's a Tuesday morning in Los Angeles, about 4 minutes after 8 here in Los Angeles. Thought that I'd do an early morning webcast. It's not that early. I've been up since about 5:30, something like that. But I thought that I'd come in here and talk to you. I'm glad that you can come to the website. I've been very busy. Been having some electrical work done here in my home altogether. And so I haven't had an opportunity to really kind of like chide in the way I wanted to do it. What's going on? Wow. Just a little work and it's costing me, but I think it needs to be done. Since I'm having a lot of, you know, when you have church in the home, you have to make a lot of home improvements because people are coming through your home. And my home's pretty old and kind of shabby. So I figure, yeah, take some of the money that you got, equity built up in the home, and fix it up for the people. And that's what I'm trying to do right now because I'm going to leave it all anyhow. Thank you for your prayers. I'm praying for you. You know, I've lost a lot of my friends over the past 6 months. Lost a lot of my friends, and I know why. And here recently, I've been having some fantastic discussions with some other friends of mine about the, how can I put it, the Christianity that's out there today. And without appearing to be so judgmental and things like that, I think I want to address it in a way that I think will be beneficial to each and every one of us. I did a webcast a number of days ago, and I was going to place it up, but I had uploaded it to my website, but since then I've even taken it off of the actual track in the website, because I don't want anybody to hear it. I want to run this by you. I want to run this by you, and I just want you to think about it. As Christians, what do you do when you've presented all the evidence? Let me give it to you this way. Okay. If you presented all the evidence for your audience right in front of them, and what do you do when your audience looks at the evidence and turns away from it and acts as if they've never viewed it? What do you do for people like that? You know, it takes me all the way back. I think that's a very serious question. I don't even know what you would call that question. I guess there's a term for it. But what do? When you present the evidence right in front of a person, here's the evidence right in front of you. You know, not an O.J. Simpson trial, nothing like that. You know, if the glove don't fit, you got to acquit, all that kind of stuff. No, I'm talking about you present the evidence right in front of the person of what is. And the person is looking right at the evidence and all right, let me bring it closer to home, closer to home. I want to scoot it right up to your front door. Okay? Let's say that your child, okay, is dating a drug dealer. You got a 22-year-old daughter raised in the church, singing in the choir, all that, all nine yards. But she has fallen in love with the drug dealer, somebody selling methamphetamines, cocaine, hashish. He's driving a Bentley, living like a king, and your 22-year-old daughter is dating this guy, and you don't want her to date this guy. And you tried to ignore the fact that she is. And when she comes by with him and the Bentley, come by to visit you in the house, and that's your daughter, you can't deny that. What do you think of a person that would say, that's not my daughter? What? Wait a minute. No. What do you say to a person that responds in that way? And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to put out this thing for you today. I want you to really think with me on this. If a person has the evidence right in front of them of what it is, and then they turn away from that evidence, and then they try to say that the evidence that they're looking at is not what they're looking at, what do you do? How do you reach this person? What else can you do? Now, this is the individual problem that I have with the Christian church today. The Christian church today is looking at the evidence. Let me give you some illustrations. Remember, there was a guy that was in Texas that was running a church, and his massage therapist was sleeping with him. And first thing that he did is he denied it. The massage therapist says, I've been having regular sex with this preacher. And everybody in the church, you know, they kicked him out, and they're all crying and everything. And then when the press came to him, he just said, I wasn't having sex with that man. Why would a man say that another man is having sex with him? And then why would he deny it? See, if I were having sex with another man or a woman or anything like that, and somebody asked me, I say, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I want to do it. Why would I be in denial? Why would I be afraid of you or anybody else? In a postmodern generation, people do what they want to do with whomever they want to do it with at any time, because what is right for you is not necessarily right for the other person. That's called moral relativism. And so if something is not right for you and something is right for another person, and the person is doing that thing, and somebody comes to them and says, you can't do that because that's not right, the person will look at you and say, you know what, you need to get the whatever up out of my face. I can do whatever I want to do at any time I want to do it with anyone that I want to do it with. This is the kind of society that we live in. Now, the church is not supposed to live like that. The church is not supposed to. We're supposed to have rules and regulations. It comes under the guidelines of thou shalt not, N-O-T, negative, negation, absolutely not. We cannot do that. As a matter of fact, the church has some guidelines that have been set for now about 2,000 years. That's a long time. Now, the difficulty with these rules of negation that has been set is the tampering with what we have set up as human laws amongst ourselves to deal with this kind of certain negation. And this is where the problem comes. The problem comes because, you know, you can say in your relativistic state, well, John, what is right for you is not necessarily right for me. We've even taken it on a different Christian level. And see, once you take it on that Christian level and put it on that level, then that relativistic nature works wherever you are. Now, I had a webcast that I was going to post and put up on my website. It was dealing with straight out facts, 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 facts. I was having a discussion with a brother from back east, and he asked me to put it up, and I had completed it. Brother Mike, I want to tell you, if you're listening right now, I had it up. It was ready to come up, but I couldn't put it up because the church is too weak. Your brains are weak. You have forgotten how to deal with the thou shalt nots. And one of the keys to prove my point that you couldn't deal with it is that I put up a webcast back in October, and it's on my webpage right now. Not your typical Negro put up a soundbite on YouTube, and I don't mind him using my, you know, prima facie mic cover to put it up there to associate it with me because I did the interview. Since that interview has been put up, many of you no longer coming to my website don't want to listen to me. As a matter of fact, you will not tell me that you think that I'm illegitimate. You think that I'm illegitimate. You believe that I'm not a Christian. You believe that I'm not a true pastor because I told you the truth. Now, this is what bothers me about the Christian church. And I'm telling you, if I didn't have a strong belief in God and a love for human beings and a love for humanity, I would get out of this thing altogether. I would be doing something else. I'm going to tell you, my outrage at the church has reached a level that I never thought that I would be able to admit publicly. I am ashamed of being called a Christian. Seriously, outright ashamed. That some of you would turn against me and listening to people that are using you as a business commodity just to make money. People that are pimping your brains and your mentality to make money off of you, and you think that I am illegitimate and I have absolutely, absolutely no other purpose for doing what I'm doing other than to help you as Christians, especially you young Christians, because these people that are running these, you know what? I'm going to tell you, it's like what the Obama administration is doing to this country right now, running it down into the ground. That's exactly what these churchmen are doing. If you are in the beguilement of following these people that are double-minded statements, double-minded disposition and behavior, I wish that I could put that webcast up and play it, because I'm mentioning names, I'm making statements, but if I did it, you wouldn't believe it. You would not believe it. You would say, that can't be. You know what you would say? You would say, that can't be true. These are God's. They're not God's people. People can use the name of God in vain. It has been done for centuries. People have misguided people for centuries by using the name of God. In the name of God, people will strap dynamite around their waist and blow them and anybody else around them up into millions of bits of pieces of flesh, screaming the name of their God. In the name of God, one nation will go into another nation and literally slaughter hundreds and thousands of people. And both of these, I mean, look at Ireland and where's that at? Ireland, the Catholics and the Protestants killing each other, blowing each other up. Cousins, brothers and sisters. Europeans have been killing each other for hundreds of years over religion. My goodness, and Christianity has the poorest track record in the history of the world for killing each other in the name of Jesus. It is the most ridiculous thing and now using God as a, you know what? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. If you ask me, and I'm just going to make this statement, and I want this to resonate in your head, because I it's not about sharing the evidence with you, because I don't think that you are healthy enough to deal with the evidence that I share with you. I'm an old dude. If I live to be 66 on February the 8th of this year, 2010, you still would not listen to me. And some of you that are in your 30s, and younger, you younger people, you've been so immersed into this new age of thinking that you have not used your brains in a number of years. You don't even know how to go there unless you have some kind of a puppet hero take you to that place. Now, the dangerous mode that the church is in today is that we are supposed to stand firm. Here recently in my life, I have had to make some statements, some very harsh statements about a situation that I won't get into detail with, that most of you could never make. And I've made that statement, and I take that stand. And having taken that stand, because I have God as my witness, I feel firm in my heart that I know that I'm correct. I know that most of you couldn't take that stance because you have compromised yourselves. Now, this is what I want to put out. You know my email address, intothewordinthenumeric1@aol.com. If you would like me to place that particular webcast back up that I did, that I never played, you will write me an email letter and give me reasons why you think I ought to put it up for the benefit of the church. Now, it's gonna be centered around John MacArthur and the Grace Community Church. More evidence. It's going to be centered around his disposition, a statement that he made to me, and a statement that I made back to him. It's going to be centered around a guy named Greg Kokol. Okay, stand to reason. The webcast has already come up because some of you are believing in these so-called apologists that are doing. It's going to be centered around Hank Hinnegraaff, the so-called Bible answer man, and him suing another Christian. And of course, in his pursuit of the money hoard that he's become with his stuff, it's going to be addressing those situations. It's going to be addressing some situations that I know, personal conversations that I've had, to let you know about the character of these individuals that are running these institutions. Now, these guys in these huge institutions know that I'm telling the truth. When they listen to this webcast, they're going to know that I'm telling the truth, and they're going to say, "He would not dare." Yes, I would, to protect the church. But you know why I can't do it? Because the people that say that they want the truth can't handle it. They can't handle the truth. In other words, keep me in the fog. Keep me drifting. Keep me guessing. Keep me, you know, thinking that my world is this way when it's that way. I know, because that's the way the church is. I will be talking to you later. So let me say this as I end up. Phone calls always come in, and phone calls are always rewarding, and phone calls always stimulate my mind to say more. I hope that you understand why I feel the way I do. For those of you that used to be friends of mine and no longer come to my website and listen to me because I say things that brings about some difficulty, I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry for you, but I don't think that you will ever become the strong, vibrant Christian that you need to become. And let me speak to you guys out there, because there's two kinds of guys in this world. There's a feminized guy and there's a manly guy. And I want to talk to you feminized guys out there. You need to man up. You really need to man up. And I'm going to tell you where and why and how you need to man up. Number one, now I've said this and I'm going to say it again. Stop even listening to me like I'm your certain kind of idolatrous person that you're going to follow in theology. I know a hell of a lot of theology. I do. And I know what it means, and I know how to wager a pretty good battle, especially when I talk to people that try to pull the wool over my eyes. But I think that most of you men out there need to man up, because you've been feminized. If you are between the age of just being born and around 38 or 39 years old, you've probably been damaged by this educational system and this religious system that you've come up in, and you don't know how to be a man. Number two, if you have not had a father that grew up in the 40s and the 50s and know how this thing works, you double died messed up, because, wait a minute, and if you're a dude raised by a woman and you thinking like your mama, are like your wife. You're halfway messed up that way because you're a man and you're different than a woman. Now, some of you women that's listening to me, if you get a little ticked, I expect you to because you're not a man. I'm talking to your men right now. Now, when it comes to some of these men pimping you other dudes by getting your money, you're buying all their books, you're making them millionaires and all that kind of stuff, and your life isn't getting any better. Your life isn't getting any better, and then you spend half of your time arguing with another man about what some other dude has said. Are you completely out of your mind? I don't think that God has called any of us to do that. So, man up. Man up to it. Because I'd like to put that webcast up and just, you know, hey, talk to you like a man is supposed to talk to a man. And you know what? Whenever a dude say, well, now, let me tell you about John Coleman. Let me tell you what he's really all about. If you want to know what I'm really all about, you can call me here in the office or email me or buy a ticket and fly to Los Angeles and come and stay with me a couple of days in my home. And you can, because I've had four or five guys come and do that from around the country. I live alone. Fly on out here with your bad self and ask me any darn question you want to. See, I'm not like these pimping pastors that talk to trash on their website and in their churches and stuff, and you can't even find out where they live. I'm a real person living in the real world. I'm one of those carryovers kind of pastors. I like to be like the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter. You know what? You ever want to read one of the finest texts in the scriptures? You want to read where the Apostle Paul withstood Peter to his face and called him a hypocrite because, as the scripture says, Peter stood condemned. You can do that with me because I ain't scared of you no how. So man up, guys. Man up. Some of these guys are pimping you for your money. They're pimping you. They're pimping you for your wives. You don't know how many guys I know that have lost their wives, their marriages, over some jive time pastor that has told their wives to follow them instead of following their husbands. What kind of a dude are you that's going to let another dude tell your wife what to do in a sorry but place called a church? Yeah, I'm a little ticked. I can't stand a pastor that's going to tell a Christian woman what to do, and she's not even listening to a man. So man up, man up. So if you want to get them dudes, and for those of you youngsters that's not adult men yet, you need to go and talk with your daddies and stop talking with these other sissified dudes all over the internet that's just leading, you know, fogging up your minds. I'm just talking to you like that. I'm a Christian. I'm a godly man. You may not like my tone of voice. You may, you know, like some of them little wimps from John MacArthur's church talking about I'm rude and obnoxious. No, I won't talk no evangelical mess with you. That's why when it's time for you to show up some kind of way, you don't know how to show up because you've compromised yourselves. I'm never going to compromise myself. So man up. Now, email me and say, hey, PJ. Put the clip up. I'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear what you had to say. Do you? Do you? Now, if I elect not to put it up, I got it on my hard drive on one of these computers here, and I'll burn you a copy, and I'll send it to you. If you appreciate what I do, I'll tell you like they tell you on these other big things. Send me a donation. No, you ain't got to send me nothing. I got about 20 or 30 CDs here. I could burn the thing. I'll find a stamp and send it to you. I don't need your money. I really don't. I tell you, I'm struggling over here. It's a hard thing, but that's not your situation to take care of me. No, no. As a matter of fact, I appreciate some of the congregants that make my life relatively easy by what I'm doing, and I really appreciate them. And God bless you for that, but you don't have to do that either. Because you know what? My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. See, I'm not going to come across and say, if God has put on your heart to do that. I used to talk like that years ago, but I don't talk like that anymore. I was talking with a brother, and the brother told me that there's something in the mail coming my way. I'm not rushing to the mailbox looking for that. But I'll go there and I'll get it and I'll receive it and I'll bow my head and thank God for this brother's life because he's a nice brother. Because he's been in my house. He's been in my studies and don't even live in this city. See, so some of you young men need to man up out there because being a man is quite different from being a woman. Oh, well, if I were you, I would never say it that way. I don't think. Have you called Dr. MacArthur? Have you given him a chance to? Shut up. You talking to a dude. Ain't talking with somebody that's going to play this little game, Nicky Nacky, with you. He made that statement, and I'm just calling him on that statement because that's what a dude would do. Those of you that are feminized males, you don't call nobody on nothing. But you're going to get in a group. Oh, and let me talk with some of you brothers out there. Some of you black men. I think that some of you black men can understand this illustration before I end up this webcast. The illustration that I'm using is that of a bunch of crabs in a barrel. Because that's the way black men work in religion these days. Crabs in a barrel. See, in order for them to get out, they got to climb up on somebody else's back to get up out of that barrel. Do you know how many times that's happened to me in ministry? Do you know how many men I've trained in ministry only to be crawdadded by them? And then they'll never affirm you. Man, let me tell you something, man. I can tell you just a little bit. I had some guys with me in ministry, man, they used a white boy to steal my radio ministry, and then they set their ignorant minds under him, and he bojangled them and took that from them. And everything that I built up is going, why? Because they could not stand another black man achieving anything on his own by the talent that God has given him. Man, I'm telling you. And so if you're in that category, and then you in a, man, that's how come. I know a lot of people in churches like that. They're in churches like that where their leadership is just, you know, and then they use this holy Joe language to try to justify themselves. Nah. Not really. Not really. Now, let me say this. That's enough of that. You know what I want from you. I want you to contact me and let me know what you think about what, you know, about what I'm saying. That's what I want you to do. I want you to contact me. Yes, Pastor John, I want you to play the clip. I want you to put it up because I think that we need to hear it. And those of you that are weak, this is what I want you to do, because let's solidify this, because I don't know how much time that there's going to be left on the planet for us to do a lot of things. For those of you that want to cut all relations with Pastor John E. Coleman, that's me. You want to cut all relations with me and never have anything to do with me for the rest of your lives, I just want you to email and say, PJ, I'm through with you. Just say I'm through with you. And that's it. I won't contact you. I'll remove your email list from my list. I won't hate you. I just say, hey, man, I don't want to hear no negative comments with you. Don't be trying to tell me how to do no webcast. Don't be trying to tell me how to do Christianity. Don't do that. Because you know what? No. Don't try to do that to me because I'm not hearing you. I'm not hearing you. You're not going to get me like that. I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing right in your face. And for those of you that love me and are concerned about what I'm doing, I would love to hear from you. And just say, hey, keep it up, PJ. I love all of you, man. I love you cats. I love you. I really do. It's beautiful, man. But I ain't going to wimp out. I ain't compromising for nobody, man. If my mother was alive, you hear me, if my mama was alive and she was going to MacArthur's church, I would say to her, what in the heck are you doing affirming this dude, mama, that's talking like that? You. And then I said, oh, I understand. You tripping. That's just me. But those of you that got your loyalties, I don't care who you are, heading ministries, in ministry, and you're afraid to talk to your people that God has placed over you, and you're afraid to tell them the truth and stuff like that, man, you need to just send me that email and say, John, I'm finished with you, man. Yeah, might as well be finished, because I'm going to keep on doing stuff like this until God tell me to shut up. But I'm going to tell you God's honest truth. Can I be real with you? Can I be real up and all that stuff? It hurts, man. When I befriend people, when I love people the way I love some of you guys out there, and then you come across at me like this, thinking that it's like that, it hurts me, man. It hurts me into my heart deep, 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 because I need some brothers to love me, man, to love me. There's very few people loving anybody, man. Very few people loving anybody. Don't even know how to tell each other. I show you I love you. I grab you and hug you so tight, I won't let you go. That's how much I love you. But anyhow, that's neither here nor there. See, I'm getting emotional. I'm getting all feminine. I got to leave that alone. Hey, thank you for coming to the website. It has been a wonderful time. You know the drill. Stay in the Word.